Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Well, I'm going to tell you just a little something that happened to me. Maybe you'll think it's humorous. So the other day, Janet and Molly, they go to Baton Rouge because Molly is in beta and Janet's just always gone to support her and support Trey. And so she went to be a support, and then also Sister Cammie was there in the hospital and she wanted to go see her. So that was on Thursday, and I was at home by myself. And I was studying and getting ready to go to bed. And for whatever reason, Valentine, she just starts growling. And that's not unusual, but man, I look and I can't find anything. And, you know, but she's just growling. So eventually we go on to bed, and she sleeps there in her little bed in our room. And so at 3 a.m, I hear a voice in our living room. And it scares me. I know I got Jesus. And I know he's my protector. But I'm going to just be honest with you. It scared me. I woke wide awake at 3 a.m. I like come up out of that bed. And I said, Valentine, come on, let's go. And naturally, you start throwing on every light. Boy, you're looking. And I realized what it was. We have a phone. Janet loves this little phone. She calls it her Santa phone. And when you pull the receiver off, Santa starts saying all these pre-recorded messages to you. So that was the first time I ever wanted to slap Santa. Because I tell you what, he scared me big time. And the rest of the night, I didn't really sleep all that well. Santa was haunting me. I don't know what happened. That phone has never done that. But apparently when we were cleaning or something, we tipped it just enough that it messed up the receiver. But I was like, you devil, you. Why do you want to go off at 3 a.m. and disturb my sleep? But anyway, that's the only time I've been scared of Santa, but there you have it. It was pretty funny. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 31. If you're there, say amen. Amen. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I want you to look at three people and tell them, hey, if God can be for you, who can be against you? Three people, tell them. If God is for you, if God is for you, then who can be against you? God bless you. You can be seated. I want you to allow me this morning, as we begin our journey into a new decade and into a brand new year, I want you to allow me to make a very bold prediction. Here is my prediction. At the end of your life, your greatest regret won't be the things you did but wished you hadn't. Your greatest regrets will be the things you didn't do but wished you had. Now that I have your attention, can I say that again? At the end of all of our lives, our greatest regrets won't be the things you did but wished you didn't. The greatest regrets of our lives will be the things you didn't do but wished you had. It is the what if dreams that we never act upon that turn into if only regrets. According to research that's done by two social psychologists, they say that time is a key factor in what we regret. Here's how they broke it down. In the short term, 53 out of 100 people feel regret over the mistakes more than missed opportunities. But in the long term, at the end of people's lives, the percentage change, and 84 out of 100 people say they regret missed opportunities more than their mistakes. Now, that doesn't mean that all of us don't have things that we wish we would have said different. It doesn't mean we all don't have things we wish we would have done differently. But our longest lasting regrets will be opportunities that we left on the table. Those are the if-onlys that haunt us all the way to our grave. Now, this is my humble opinion, but I think that we grieve the heart of God with the I should haves and I could haves and I would haves, because potential is a gift that God gives every one of us. Now, I'm going to take a side road here just a minute, because things come to me as I'm preaching. Again, this is just my belief. But when you look at the talent found in the New Testament, when the king gives the talent to the servant, he gives 5 talents to one, 3 talents to another, and he gives 1 talent to the other, correct? My personal belief, I don't think that the king would have been upset with that guy with the 1 talent if he would have just done nothing more than take it to the bank and let it draw interest. But because he makes God look like a hard man, he says, God, we know that you reap where you don't sow. We know that, he says, you are a hard man, and here's what I think. I think his punishment wasn't so much that he didn't even get interest. I think his punishment was because he made God look like a hard man. And because he didn't take what little bit of talent he had and used it, God said, I can't work with that. Here's what I am saying based off of that story, that whether you are a 5 or a 3 or a 1 talent, you have potential. Look at your neighbor and tell them with a smile on your face, you have potential. Tell them, you have potential. Some maybe more than others, right? We know that some are gifted more than others. But be that as it may, you have potential, and that potential is God's gift to you. And God does not want you hiding that potential. He doesn't want you having all of these I shoulda, I coulda, I woulda moments. He's wanting you to take what he has given you as your God-given potential, and he wants you to use it for his glory. Can I get a witness? See, making the most of our gift is giving back to God. I know this is a cliche, but it's worth saying again. God gave his life for us in death. Now he wants us to live our life for him. And living our life for him doesn't mean that we go and hide ourselves in a closet trying to act humble with humility. You can have humility and still use the gift and the abilities that God has given you. God doesn't want you to go and hide your gift this year in a corner and just say, look how humble I am. That's false humility. God gave you those gifts, those abilities, those talents, no matter what they are, for you not to sit on it, not to say, well, it's not enough, this is not significant. No, he wants you to take that and use that gift for his glory. And I think anything less than us doing that as we march into a new year and a new decade is going to cause us regrets. I don't know how they figure all this out, but as I've read and studied, I've found out that neuroimaging, which is taking pictures of the brain, it shows that as we age, the cognitive center of gravity as we age moves from the imaginative right side of our brain. It shifts over to the logical side of our left brain. Again, I don't know how they figure all this out, but this is what research says. And they say that at some point in our life, most of us stop living out of our imagination and we start living out of logic. We start living out of our memory from yesterday. I read a statement one time, I thought it was so good. It says that if you don't paint a picture of your future that is bigger than your past, then you will always live in your yesterdays and never in your tomorrows. Now, this is the thing that has inspired me about the Tennies. And if you don't know about the Tennies, they are a tremendous couple that they were the district superintendent for our organization for a number of years. And the thing that Janet and I always drew inspiration from their life is this. That Brother Tenney at the age of 80 was still traveling all the way to India to add value to others. Even to this day, Sister Tenney, Janet got a text from her the other day and she's about to turn 85. And she is still traveling and we hope to have her come this year to speak to this great church. But at the age of 85... this is what inspires us. As we get older, we leave this imaginative side of our brain and we go to the logic side, but the Tennies never allowed that to happen. What are you saying? I'm saying that we do have a choice in the matter. I'm saying that no matter how old you may be, let's keep painting a picture of our future that is even bigger than our past. Can I get a witness this morning? See, because when we stop creating the future, then we start repeating the past. And the day that we stop living out of our imagination of what is possible, of what could happen, is the day we stop living by faith, and we start living by logic. And I drew inspiration from the Tennies because even though they were in their 80s, they kept living by faith. They kept living by imagination. They kept looking forward to the next service and the next wave and the next move of God. If the Lord tarries, we're all going to get older. I understand that. You understand that, those of you who are older. But it doesn't mean that we have to sit like a lump on a log. We can still be excited about what God wants to do and what He will do. The day that we stop dreaming, brothers and sisters, of possibilities, the possibility of what if, the day that we stop dreaming about that, then we end up with regrets of if only. If only I would have been more for Christ. If only I would have been all in. I want to preach to someone this morning. I want to come alongside you in a very loving and a kind way. After serving the Lord for 44 years, I do have a regret. And I'll tell you that regret. I love the Lord and I believe that I would have been saved. But I also know that I wasn't always all in. And I wish I could have gone back. And for the last 44 years, tell you that I've been all in. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Here's what I mean. I don't mean that I was out in the world doing worldly stuff. I just mean I was coming to church, but I was playing church. Can I also tell you that you can come to church and just play church? And that's what I mean. I came to church, but I played church many times. I wasn't all in. And if I could have it to do all over again, I tell you, one of the things I'd do different is I would put all of my chips in. I'd be all in, because there is nothing greater than giving God all of your heart and giving your life to something bigger than yourself. Because you really realize as you get older, and it takes a while, that what's really important is not, it's not all about you. And I think I'm a slow learner, because it took me a long time to get there, to really understand that it's not all about me, but it's really about giving myself and adding value to others. You know, as kids, we grow up with these big dreams. I remember that one of my childhood idols, his name was Gary Foss, and he was my pastor's son. And Gary Foss, I grew up in Houston going to Brother Foss's church, and Gary was a great drummer. And somehow I got some drumsticks from him, and I would go home, and we had two big, thick, hardback Bible books, pictorial Bible books with Noah and the Ark and Abraham and Isaac. Anybody remember those? Big old thick hardback. And I took those, and those were my drums, and Folger's coffee cans were my cymbals. And I taught myself. I literally learned how to play the drums. And I was 8 years old, and I started playing the drums in church. And my dream was, I'm going to play in a band. That was my dream. And I did. I started playing in a band. And then when I was around 18, somehow, I don't know to this day, but my name got out. And a rock group asked me to come audition for them. And I was like, oh, yeah. Of course, I didn't tell my parents. This is when I was 18 and playing church. Right? And so I'm not making this story up. I go to Conroe, Texas, is where they had they were doing an audition. And I go to Conroe, Texas, and I audition for this band. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. I never played so horrible in all my life. I mean, by the time that was over, I was like, well, blew that. There ain't no way that's going to happen. I will never get a call. And I didn't. Because I realized, looking back on it, at 18, God still had a plan. And he had potential. And he had purpose that was beyond my childhood dream of being in a band. Does that make sense? Now, I don't think that that was a very, looking back on it, that probably wasn't really the best dream. But here's what I do know. Some of you that have had dreams that were way better than mine, as you get older, what tends to start happening is somewhere along the way, we start settling for less than the best that God has for us. And somewhere along the way, as we get older, we switch from right brain to left brain, from faith to logic, from dreams and imaginations to this is just the way that it is. And as we get older and as we become more mature adults and life gets stressful, we begin to step away from our dreams. We begin to leave, if you please, some of our potential on the table. And in some cases, we just make poor life decisions and it takes a toll on our sense of our wonder and our joy. This morning, I come to all of you precious people and I want to address you. And I want to say that to someone here today, you are living more out of memory than you are imagination. And you may have already given up on your dreams, but can I tell you this? God has not given up on you. I may not be screaming this morning, but there is a fire that is burning in my belly. I want to look at you with the eyes of love and compassion and say, you may be thinking logic and you may be thinking left brain, but God is thinking potential. He's thinking imagination because he hasn't given up on you and he wants you to go back and unearth that potential, that God-given dream, that desire. He does not want you to go into 2020 thinking defeat, thinking the best is behind me. No, here's our text, Romans 8 and 31. If God is for us, then who can be against us? Can I preach this morning? If the doctor's report is against you, that's immaterial to his report. And I want to talk to somebody and I want to ask you, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe your daddy's report that said you were nothing? Are you going to believe your mama's report that said you was never going to amount to anything? Are you going to believe the lawyer's report that says, I just don't think it's going to happen? Are you going to believe the doctor's report that says, no, we can't do anything? Are you going to say, as I go into this brand new decade, I am going to ask God to rekindle my fire, rekindle my imagination, rekindle my faith? Come on, take just a minute right now and slip your hand up and ask him to do it for you. Father, would you do it for us? Rekindle the imagination, Lord, the dreams of your people, Lord. As we march into this brand new decade, we're not going to want to live out of logic. We want to live out of faith. I believe with all my heart that is God that orders our steps. His word tells us that, right? So I believe that he orders our steps. But I also believe that we are the ones that reimagine our future through the frame of God's promises. I'm going to say that again. We are the ones that reimagine our future through the frame of God's promises. Scholars say there's over 6,000 promises in this Bible. Instead of complaining about what is not, why don't you get one of these promises and start claiming that? Why don't you get a new script, which is called Scripture? Why don't you get a new script for 2020, and instead of saying things that somebody else said about you, why don't you get a fresh imagination of how God sees you and start quoting His word over you instead of quoting what they said about you, and realize that I'm going to remove the distractions of what people say and what they think, and I'm going to focus in on what does He say and what does He think about me, because that's what really matters. Can I get a witness? You know, when I think about just imagining our future, I see in my mind this woman in the New Testament that the scripture says she had an issue of blood. And she invested everything she had, every dollar she had, to get better. And she invested it all, and there was nothing left. But she still imagined herself, what would life be like without this issue? I believe with all my heart, she saw herself totally and completely without that issue. And she did whatever she had to bring that imagination she had in her mind to reality. Now, I don't know what your issue is. It may be your husband or your wife, but I'm not talking about them. I'm saying I want you to imagine that, you know what, your issue, whatever that may be, chronic pain, addiction, whatever it is, I want you to imagine that as we go into 2020, something is going to happen, and God and you are going to connect, and that issue is going to leave, and you're not going to have to live with that chronic pain or that chronic addiction. But you're imagining your life. Guess what? I'm believing that I'm going to have way more days of joy and happiness than days of depression. I believe and I see in my mind that I'm going to worship more instead of worry more. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. You got to imagine in your mind. You got to imagine in your mind, as I go into this new decade, I can't help what happened in 2019. That is done with and that is over, but I can change my mindset. And even if I'm getting older, I don't have to switch from the imagination and faith to this logic and doubt and fear. I'm going to keep believing that the best is yet to come. And I'm going to keep believing that God is going to work in my life. And I'm going to keep pressing on that I can stand on the promises of God, for they are yea and they are amen. Somebody give God praise in this house right now. I come to encourage you this morning. That's my only aim. That's my assignment. My assignment is to encourage you that no matter how many regrets we have, God is the God of many chances. I said this before and I'm going to keep saying it. We have a famous saying that God is the God of second chances. I believe that. But I also believe that we probably blew through our second chance when we were 8 to 11 years of age. And I can tell you, after serving the Lord for 44 years, I've gone way beyond the second chance. But every time I've come to that cross in faith, and I've asked him, God, help me again, because you know I'm weak flesh. God has never kicked me to the curb. He's never shunned me. He's always been right there to offer his grace and his mercy. Can I preach to somebody this morning? I don't know where you come from. That really doesn't matter. What matters is not how you start so much. It matters how you finish. And I want somebody in here to get a fresh imagination that come what may, I'm going to keep running. I'm going to get to the finish line. I will hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. No matter how deep-seated the regrets in our life are, we remember this, God can turn the if-only regrets into what-if possibilities. Look back at our text, Romans 8 and 31. If God is for us, then who can be against us? Say this, that's the game changer. Look at your neighbor and tell them, that's the game changer. That's the game changer. Would you help me, Ashton, on the organ just a minute? We have to settle this issue that as we go into 2020, we need to settle one issue, and that is this: God is for us. I'm going to say that again. God is for us. I'm going to say it again. God is for us. No matter what happened in 2019, I'm here to tell you God is not punishing you. God does not punish his kids. He may discipline them because he loves them. But whatever you went through was not punishment for something you did wrong. God is not punishing you for that. He may get your attention through discipline, but it's because he loves you. I told one man one time, why are you running from God? He said, I don't know. I said, because if you ever quit running, all God's going to do is love you. If you ever quit running, he's not going to kick you. He's not going to beat you down. He's not going to do that because that's not who he is. If you ever stop running long enough, all he's going to do is love you, because God is for us. Look at somebody and give them a high five and tell them, God is for us. No, you don't act like you mean that yet, but I'm going to keep preaching. I want to deposit that into your spiritual womb this morning. God is for us. If we have doubts about God's good intentions, then guess what? It's a doorway for fear to come into our life. And you say, what do you mean, Pastor? If we doubt God's good intentions, then here's what we start doing. Well, I don't think I'm good enough. And I don't think I'm worthy enough. And I don't think I'm qualified enough. I don't think I'm smart enough. And I'm just here to tell you that that is not true. Don't allow fear to come into the doorway of your life. Catch this point. Get this, grab this. If you fear God, you have nothing else to fear. Thank you. I'm going to say that again. If you fear God, you have nothing else to fear. Because I know this is not good English, but here it is anyway. God is bigger, he's badder, and he's better than anything else. I'm going to say it again. He's bigger, he's badder, and he's better than anything else. And if God be for you, then who can be against you? You don't have to worry really about the devil going into 2020, because he's already defeated. He's already defeated. And if you believe in every fiber of your being that God is for me, then believe all the possibilities of every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Because if God is for me, then over 6,000 promises apply to me. And I'm not going to think logically, well, how can this be? If God says impossible is not in my vocabulary, then why don't you take it out of your dictionary and go into 2020 saying, you know what? It didn't happen last year, but with God, all things are possible. And this could be the year that everything changes. Hallelujah. Can I keep preaching? Thank you, Ashton. Stay right there for me. Here's what I know. I know this, that you can't live long and not have regrets. I have regrets. I think every one of us, if we are a little older and honest, we'll all say we all have regrets. But it's up to us. Say it's up to me. Say it's up to me. What I do with them. What do you mean, Pastor? Here's what I mean. Let's not play the victim. We all have regrets. We've all been done wrong, but let's not play the victim. Let's go back and look at Romans 8. Here's what it says. For we are more than conquerors through Christ. Not victims. Not poor mouthers. Conquerors. And not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. So let's not allow our regrets to hold us hostage. Can I get a witness? There is no regret that God can't redeem. Oh, I'm going to say that again. There is no regret that God can't redeem. But here's the problem. Here it is. We tend to remember what we should forget. And we forget what we should remember. Can I say it again? We tend to remember what we should forget, and we forget what we should remember. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind me, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling which is in Christ. We should, brothers and sisters, forget all the negativity from 2019 and past that is behind us. But yet what we do is we remember that and we forget that God is for us. It's amazing that we can remember to worry but forget to worship. It's amazing that we can remember to panic but forget to pray. Come on, somebody. It's amazing that we can remember to complain, but we fail to remember to give thanks for all things. For this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. We need to start remembering what we need to remember and forget what we need to forget. We can't forget that God is for us. If you remember anything, you got to remember God is for me. You got to go back to Romans 8, which is one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible, which says there is there now for no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 and 28, for we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8 and 31, for if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm hurrying, but let me say it this way. The most insidious lie we can believe about God is that He is somehow against us. It's the very same lie that planted seeds of doubt in Eve's spirit in the Garden of Eden. We've doubted God's goodness ever since. And if the enemy can get us to buy into that original lie, then we posture ourselves against God because we think God is against us. But I'm here to tell this sweet congregation, no, 1,000 times no. Reject that lie going into 2020. God is for you in every imaginable way. God is for you. Will y'all give me just a couple more minutes and I promise I'll wrap this up. This is a crazy analogy, but I thought about it the other day. Here it is. Let's say that a man, couple, decided that they were going to build a $500,000 home, right? $500,000 home. It's nothing to sneeze at. It takes them 9 months to build this house. 9 months. They put the finest in it, the best of everything they can afford. They get it built. They ask me to come and dedicate it. I do. The very next day after we dedicate it, they put a torch to it and burn it up. And you say, that's crazy. That's insane. Who in their right mind would do that? Now, as silly as this analogy is, hold the thought. Why would God take 39 stripes on his back, go to Calvary on a cross and die a criminal's death, leave heaven to come to earth and robe himself in flesh to be rejected by almost everyone, to show you how much he loves you, and then just for the fun of it, send you to hell? Now, does that make sense? That no more makes sense than the man and woman who builds a $500,000 house and then torches it after it's dedicated. Do you think that God went to Calvary and did everything he did and then he delights in throwing you to hell? I don't believe that for a second. Hell was made for the devil and his angels, and it's only because you reject Christ that you go there. God loves you. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for you. He went to Calvary so that you can live. So the next time the devil tells you, God don't love you, pardon my language, but you tell the devil to go to hell because that's where he belongs. You hear me today. I'm not cussing. I'm using the scripture. When he reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. You got a home in heaven. You got a past that is forgiven. You got a purpose worth living. Yes, you do. And God is for you. Would you stand to your feet and give God some praise right now? Oh, my Lord, I didn't even get to my message. I didn't even get to it. So just so you know, I wasn't making this up. I want you to know that God's hammer has no claw. What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. That when he nails your sin to the cross, he don't ever come back and dig it out. He don't ever hold your past over you again. That past is redeemed when it's covered under the blood. I'm here to preach to somebody that whatever regrets you may have, listen, if you'll nail it to the cross, the only thing that God takes off of the cross is his benefits. He don't take your sins off. He don't take your mistakes off. He don't take your past off the cross. All he takes off of the cross is he loads you daily with his benefits. What are those? Healing for your body, salvation for your soul, peace for your mind, joy in your spirit, a song on your heart, believing that you got a future, knowing that with God, all things, shout all things are possible. Oh, I wish I had time to preach, but I can tell you're done. So I was taught a long time ago, the mind can only handle what the seat can endure. So I'm gonna let you go. God's hammer has no claw. stop looking back. Stop wishing that it could be different. That's nailed to the cross. Start believing in the possibilities of what can happen. When I give my potential, all of my potential to God, what can happen? What can happen in this new year as I stand on the promises of God and believe that the best is yet to come? Do you receive the word of the Lord? Then give God a big old praise this morning.
Pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.